Well, thank you, Greg. Some great songs to begin this new year together. And I am hopeful for us as a church. And so if we haven't met, my name is Rick, and Happy New Year to you. And yeah, it's sure been true that 2020 was a different sort of year. It caused a lot of stress for us, right? Living with the level of uncertainty that we had. It's been unsettling in our minds and in our hearts. But I believe that today's text, and as we go to the table together to take communion, is going to bring some real encouragement to you. Because often living in that state of uncertainty or fear can do all sorts of things to our minds. Like several years ago, there was a group of Dutch researchers that conducted an experiment, and they told one group of 20 subjects that they were going to be subject to 20 strong shocks. Then they told a second group that they were also going to receive 20 shocks, but only 3 of them would be strong, and then 17 of them would be weak shocks, but they never knew when the strong shocks would come. Let me ask you, which group of subjects do you think was more stressed out? It was the second group that lived with that uncertainty of never knowing when the strong shock was going to come. They experienced higher heart rates, they experienced more sweating, etc. It was the uncertainty that caused their discomfort. And it feels like 2020 has been full of uncertainty. And now as we've turned the calendar and we look to the new year, what's it going to bring? And the temptation for us is to move towards fear and discouragement because we're always waiting for that next strong shock. But Deuteronomy 31 has a great message of encouragement to us. Let me read the first 8 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 31, or you can follow along in your own Bible or on our Grace Point app. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I'm now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Zion and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I think this is a great word for us as we begin this new year, 2021. And we see here this group of people is living with an uncertain future. See, the book of Deuteronomy is about an in-between time. They're kind of between the wilderness and between the promised land. And then we get to the end of the book, and lo and behold, they don't enter the promised land. It starts with that promise in Deuteronomy 1, but it's kind of a, you know, anticlimax at the end, you know, where they don't enter Canaan. It almost would be like, you know, looking at the Gospels without the resurrection of Jesus. It's like, whoa, what a letdown. We've got these first 5 books, the Torah, which come to an end with Israel seated on the banks of the Jordan River. And they are grieving the death of the greatest leader in their history. And so the first 2 verses that I read there, Moses is giving his farewell speech. He's saying, I'm 120 years old. I can't lead you anymore. And so for the people of Israel, it's living with this uncertain future as Moses is ready to die. He's been their leader for 40 years. In fact, his his life has had this sort of three equal portions. He spent 40 years in Egypt, then 40 years wandering in the wilderness in Midian, and now the last 40 years as the leader for the people of Israel. Now I'm wondering, how's he feeling? It's hard to tell here from our text. He quotes God there in verse 2, "The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan." But then he doesn't give any commentary on that. Like, is he disappointed? I've got to think so. Is he maybe angry or bitter about that? Perhaps. He doesn't give us the reason here why he's not allowed to cross into the promised land. But we know from other scripture the story that Moses was at Meribah and God told him to go up to this rock and to speak to the rock, and that water would come out of that rock. But instead, Moses, in anger, he takes his staff and angrily strikes that rock, and then the water gushes out. And we read in the scripture that the Lord was displeased with Moses, and he's not allowed to enter the promised land. So here we are in Deuteronomy 31. He's giving his farewell speech. I'm wondering, is he thinking back to that moment at Meribah? Does he perhaps have some regrets about it? We're not sure. Maybe he's bitter. Maybe he's accepted. This is his lot in life. This is what God has said. We don't know. All we know is what he says here is, "I'm 120 years old and I am no longer able to lead you." Now that phrase that he says there, "I am no longer able to lead you," that's a military expression that in Hebrew refers to going out and coming in, as in a military exercise. And it perhaps reflects for Moses his age. He's 120 years old and he perhaps no longer has the capacity to be the commander-in-chief for their military, because they're going into Canaan and they're going to have to fight some battles there. And perhaps he doesn't have the strength to do that anymore. Now, I wonder how the people reacted when Moses said those words, eh? "I'm no longer able to lead you." Like, was there like this collective gasp among the people? What? Our beloved Moses, our leader of the last 40 years, he's not taking us into the promised land? Because there's going to be walled cities, there's going to be armed guards, there's going to be all sorts of obstacles that they are going to face as they go into the promised land. All sorts of unknowns. This is the land that had been promised to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So it raises a question. Who is going to be in charge? Who's going to take them forward? There's no doubt a greater dependency that they need to have ultimately upon God as their ultimate leader, without Moses, whom they've trusted in for the last 40 years. They were living with an uncertain future. Kind of sounds like us now, right? On this first Sunday of 2021, as we go ahead in this new year. Maybe like Moses, you've got some regrets from last year. But as we've turned the calendar, we look ahead with hope to God. See, the call in our passage today is not simply just to cope. It's to be people of a deep hope that even when we don't know what the future holds, we can trust that God goes ahead of us. See, I read that, didn't I? Verse 3. "The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you." Verse 8, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you." That God was going ahead of the Israelites back thousands of years ago. In the midst of their worry about this uncertain future, God promised to go first. He, in a sense, is like the first man into the promised land. He has gone ahead. And he's demonstrated this to them in their past. During the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God was always going ahead during the day as a cloud and as a pillar of fire by night. And even though Moses would no longer be around as their beloved leader, God would always be around and they could trust him. And therefore, they didn't need to fear the Canaanites as God was going ahead of them. Their covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, whom they could count on. They weren't to rely on a guide, but upon God himself. Moses had been their guide and had been a great guide. I mean, Moses was there in Pharaoh's court as he marched in there in Egypt. He had lifted his staff over the Red Sea as they walked through that. He had climbed Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments. What an incredible godly guide. But ultimately, godly guides are like training wheels on a bicycle. The purpose of training wheels is not to just ride with the training wheels, but eventually to let go, to take those training wheels off. And Moses, in a sense, had been their training wheel. But now their dependency was upon God himself. A godly guide points to God. Grace Point Church, as we move forward in 2021, we have got to depend on God with a greater reliance than ever before. There's been so much uncertainty these last 10 months, right? But we know in whom we can trust. And like for the Israelites, God went ahead. God has gone ahead for you and I this year also. He will guide. He will direct. He goes ahead. Notice the repeated promise that's given here in this passage. Verse 6. For the Lord your God goes ahead of you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. We can rest in the promise of God's presence with us. That would be so important for the people of Israel back then. As they're leaving Goshen and going into Canaan, I think partially it was so crucial because of the ancient belief that deities inhabited certain places, certain lands. And in the ancient Near Eastern world, there was belief that their gods would occupy certain places. We see that throughout the Bible. Passages like Daniel chapter 10. Daniel is fasting from wine and meat for 3 weeks because he's trying to get this interpretation of a troubling dream that he's had. And then God gives him this interpretation and reveals that this prince of Persia was blocking the angels from entering an area. Who is this prince of Persia? Well, it seems to be some sort of a territorial spirit, some sort of a demonic being that occupied this certain area of land. Like I said, the ancients believed that. And here in Deuteronomy 31, as they're ready to cross over, they wondered, okay, God was with them on this side of the river, but how are they going to face these foreign pagan gods on the other side of the river? Will God go with us? They wondered. And the assurance from God is that yes, he is there for them. He will never leave them nor forsake them. We read in the passage there. Now, is it true back then that there were territorial spirits? Is it true now in 2021? Are there demonic beings that occupy certain areas in the lower mainland or certain regions in our country or in our world? Let me ask it to you a different way. Have you ever been in a place where you sense the presence of evil? Have you ever gone somewhere and you just felt this evil was in this space, in this place? Chances are you have. It's happened to me quite a number of times. I recall one time. I went over to a home to visit a couple. And I walked into the house. And again, I could sense this presence of evil that you've perhaps felt in certain places. The living room was set up like a séance. Curtains were all drawn closed. Some candles were around the room. I sat down. We made some small talk back and forth. And then they proceeded to show me how they could move objects with their mind. Now you got to understand, I'm a skeptic about some of those kind of things. I'm cynical. I think, oh, you know, this is, you know, what's the trick? You know, what's, what does a Las Vegas artist do to give the appearance of moving objects? But that day, there was no sleight of hand or no disguised strings or anything like that. I saw the presence and power of evil as objects move before my eyes. Friends, Satan is real. And his cohorts, the fallen angels, have reaped all sorts of destruction through the coronavirus and in other ways in 2020. And they will attempt to do that in 2021. What gives you and I the assurance? The promise here in our passage, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you are, God is there with you. And we've just been through Christmas. One of the titles for Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. God is with you. See, that's one way I think the ancients got it wrong, is they always thought that God was in a certain place. You know, that God would be on this side of the river or in this area or in the temple. And they tied it to a place. Whereas I see God tying himself to people. He connects with people who embrace him. Jesus promised in Matthew 28:20, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." His promise to never leave you nor forsake you. So, if you're feeling uncertain as we enter 2021, remember God is with you. And I know all of our faiths have been challenged this year, our beliefs this past year. And next week, we're going to launch a new series around uncertainty, doubt, and hope. And I'm going to share a few of my own struggles in the midst of this season, some of the things I wonder about, and perhaps you have also. But remember, God is guiding. God has gone ahead, and God is with you now. So when you're feeling fearful, when you're feeling anxious for loved ones, when you're frightened for what's next, remember, God is with you. You proceed because he is there beside you. Today, as you're watching on the screen, tomorrow, whatever you're doing, and all of this year. And then, like the ancients, we can proceed with no fear. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. Verse 8, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And that word discouraged that's used there in the Hebrew refers to having a breakdown as a result of confusion or fear. Discouraged, a breakdown. I think a breakdown, I think of my car in the month of December. It had a breakdown. On 152nd Street, it just died. The ironic thing was I just had the transmission fluid changed, and that was kind of, I guess, the final nail in the coffin of the tranny going, and it went. And perhaps you've had that experience where your car breaks down, and on a busy street like 152nd, you know, the cars are honking and trying to get around you, and that's that very helpless feeling. I can't do anything. I got to wait for the tow truck. Discouraged, to have that breakdown because of fear or uncertainty. I'm wondering if the Israelites, that was a temptation for them. And perhaps that's why the word is placed there. That they were going to face all these obstacles, all these enemies as they went into Canaan. And the temptation would be to just become immobilized. Like, whoa, we can't move forward. We're just stuck here. But in light of God going ahead of them in light of God being with them, they could assume the no fear posture. God himself was saying, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. And God puts our fears in perspective. Moses didn't deny that there was his enemies ahead of them. It's not like he said, oh, the Canaanites, Shemanites, don't worry about them. No, it wasn't, you know, this idealistic or unrealistic sort of a viewpoint. No, he was realistic. But to put it in perspective, that a covenant-keeping God was going ahead of them and with them, and so they could fear not. Our fears are real. We don't deny them, but we put them in their proper perspective. It's kind of like, think of it this way. In your home, chances are you've got a smoke alarm and a thermostat. A smoke alarm is a warning device, and a thermostat is a control device. When does a smoke alarm go off? Well, when I'm cooking something and I get distracted and suddenly, beep, 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 you know, and Cheerio, our dog, runs and hides, and then I'm grabbing the towel and, you know, waving it and opening the windows, turning on the exhaust fan to get that alarm off. And the thermostat, on the other hand, is a control device that when the heat drops too low, it kicks in. Likewise, when the heat rises to a certain level, it turns the furnace off. I say, friends, with your fears, think of them as a smoke alarm, that they're this warning for you. Okay, why am I afraid? What is causing this fear within me? Why is it rising up within me? But don't let it become a thermostat. Don't let your fears set the temperature of your life. We don't deny our fears. They're there, like the warning, but they don't become the thermostat for us. They don't set the temperature. We set the thermostat based upon the input we have from God. His word to us, his promises, who he is. And when we gain that perspective, we can move ahead in 2021 with a fear not attitude, like given here in our passage. The Lord himself goes before you and we will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So let me ask you today, church, where do you need God's strength? Where do you need God's courage? Verse 6. Kind of jumped out at me this week. Why don't we stick it up on the screen there? You see it? We can read it together. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. And I underline that word them. Who is the them? Well, for back the ancient Israelites, them was the Canaanites, the obstacles, the armed guards, the walled cities, all of the things that they were going to face, that God's saying, don't be afraid or terrified because of them. Now, what about for you in 2021? What is the them? Maybe it could be your future. And God's word for you is, don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Maybe you've been fearful in 2020, and now as we've turned the calendar, you're looking ahead, and that fear is still in your gut. I say, God has gone before you. Trust him, friends. Or maybe your them is your kids or your grandkids. You're worried about the coronavirus, about the kids catching it at school. Or perhaps you're afraid of your kids or grandkids growing up in this world that's so different from the world that you grew up in. Or maybe it's just certain nights when you're listening at the baby monitor and that fear just rises within you. May I remind you that your kids are first and foremost God's kids. He has given them to you to steward. Oh, you steward them well, but ultimately you trust God that these are his kids firstly. Do not be afraid of them. Maybe the them is not enough. Maybe that's your fear. Not having enough. Could be enough time, could be enough wisdom, could be enough energy, could be enough money. Maybe you're afraid of running out. Let me ask you, who's taking care of you? Did Jesus not promise that the very hairs of your head are numbered? God's looking after you. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Trust God for His provision. Do not be afraid or terrified of them. Could the them maybe be a fear of failure that you've got within you? And today is the day to surrender that to God. Because, yeah, He's given you talents and gifts and opportunities, but does it all depend upon you? Since when did God get off the throne and put you in charge? Can't you trust Him? I say yield to God's agenda. Yield to God's timing in your life. And let that fear of failure drop down in light of who God is and what He says. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified because of them. Who's the them for you? Maybe is it that fear of not mattering? Do you ever wonder, like, the significance or the impact of your life? In my early 40s, I went through a season where I really wondered about that. I kind of pictured my life as this stone with a ripple in a pond. And I thought, what are the ripples? What about when I'm gone? Like, what impact, what influence have I left behind? And many people in their between their late 30s and late 40s often go through a season of questioning, wondering about that. And maybe that's you. Process it with others. And you remind yourself about who you are in God. And your identity that comes from Him. Your significance comes from who you are in Him. Who is the them in your life? Is it perhaps the ultimate fear? The fear of death. And we've all been reminded of that this year with COVID. Do you believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus? If so, you have assurance in heaven. You can trust God. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." You can believe that, friends, that you have a life that's in Jesus, that's even greater than the biological life that you have now. And as people of faith, we do what the author of Hebrews said. We look forward to Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith. Your life is in His hands. He went to the cross for you. And so you don't need to fear. Even fear the fear of death itself. You're in God's strong hands. So this day, trust Him. So I say, church, come to Him. Come to Him with all of your fears, whether it's your performance or your future, whether it's your job or the ripple of your significance, whether it's the fear of your marriage cratering or your single state at the moment, whether it's your parents' expectation or your kids' future. Whatever your fear may be, whatever them is for you, give it over to God. Trust Him. As we move forward in this new year, He's the God who says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I go ahead of you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged." Let's just take a few moments of prayer right now. What is God saying to you? And what are you going to do about it? What is the area of trust? The area of fear that you need to surrender even right now as you're watching me? Oh, Jesus, I pray that you would speak right now to hearts, to lives who are watching. You know our journey. Just take a few moments of silent prayer, just between you and God, right there, right now. Just release that anxiety. Release that fear. Exhale it as you exhale air. And inhale God's presence, God's peace for you. He loves you. He's for you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Amen. And the ultimate demonstration, friends, of Jesus' love is his death on the cross for you. This ultimately shows us what God is like. There's some difficulties in that passage that another time we can grapple with around some of the enemies. But we look to the cross to see what God is ultimately like. A God who would die in the place of his enemies so that they would become his friends. That's what he's done for you. That's how much he loves you. And so if you have your communion elements, I invite you now to take the bread. And I'm thinking back to Jesus and his disciples. They were gathered in this upper room. And no doubt they were afraid, because Jesus had dropped some hints and said some things around himself leaving, that they were facing this uncertainty. But he reminded them, "This bread represents my body, which is broken for you." And so I invite you on this first Sunday of 2021 to take the bread and to eat. And then Jesus took one of the wine goblets and he passed it around to his disciples. And we read in the Gospels a few of the things that they talked about. But I wonder if he tried more and more to explain to them what was going to happen these next 72 hours. Again, there's uncertainty, there's fear. But because of the shed blood of Jesus, a new covenant was being established between God and humanity, between you and God. And so I invite you, church, to take your cup and to drink deeply of the grace of God given to us through Jesus. Oh, Jesus, what a tremendous love. What a God that you are. That we can reach up to you because you reached down first to us. We're in awe of what you have done. We want to respond back to you. The God who taken the initiative. the God who says, I love you. And that we can live in this relationship in 2021. Walking after you. Jesus, you invited us to follow. We want to respond. In your name we pray. Amen.